CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News, Dickinson College, and CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. My remark about Passchendaele, this was the third battle of Wipers, Ypres, in 1917. It devolved into a slug match between trenches and massive, massive death from artillery. There are photographs in the Telegraph out of London in these last days that are striking, putting the trench of Passchendaele right beside, in black and white, the trenches of the Donbass, also showing the chopped in half trees and forests of Passchendaele right next to the same phenomenon in Donbass. What we're looking at is the suggestion that we've got a stalemate, a slug match, except for the major artillery units, the artillery and missiles from the Russian side destroying infrastructure, as we've said, and raining down on a civilian population. And the artillery on the Ukrainian side looking to reach into the Russian concentrations and also the Russian fire bases. And Jeff, therein lies a puzzle. I call upon my artilleryman, Colonel McCausland. What is the limitation the Ukrainians have, and can it be solved by more and longer range missiles from the U.S.?
Well, the problem they have is twofold, I would argue, John. One is not only the employment of the weapons they have, but keeping those weapons employed. The literally hundreds of 155 artillery pieces provided to Ukraine by the United States and other NATO partner, I've read reports that up to one third of them are not available at any given moment because they're being repaired someplace. And our ability to repair those weapons forward and therefore cut down the time when you pull them out until you get them back into the fight is crucial. If you have to take them out of the country and take them to Poland or Germany or whatever, obviously those timelines are extended. So that's one of the problems that's being dealt with. And some people argue we should focus our attention now on providing, frankly, more forward maintenance support, perhaps even using contractors to shorten that particular time cycle. The second thing, of course, is ammunition. And what right now the Ukrainians, as one person said, you know, one day of artillery fire in Ukraine is 1 month in Afghanistan, or probably more. The Ukrainians are firing 5,000 to 6,000 rounds of artillery every single day. Well, John, the entire production of 155 artillery in the United States annually is only about 175,000 rounds. So it's not a lot of heavy mathematics to realize they're expanding the entire annual production of the United States in about 30 days. Now, again, all this these weapons aren't 155. Some are older 152s. But the problem is becoming more and more acute, and that is our ability to provide them more and more artillery for this very intense stalemate World War I-like battlefield. And that becomes complicated even further in terms of the weapons themselves, because as you have sustained artillery fire like this, then you have to eventually start replacing tubes because the tubes wear out. And that's a pretty significant maintenance problem, which usually can only be done at some distance from the battlefield. Now, the good news is, of course, this is a problem that's shared by the Russians. The Russians as well have expended enormous amounts of artillery, and we know are having problems getting additional ammo. They're trying to buy it from North Korea and elsewhere. And the same problem with replacing artillery tubes that are being worn out. And over the last few weeks, we've seen a decrease in the daily expenditure rate of Russian artillery, which I think in part is due to those limitations.
And reaching their fire bases, what do they need, Jeff?
What they really would like is the ATACMS. And this comes back to this second war, the war in the air, missiles and drones. I think what the Ukrainians would like would be longer range systems so they can not only have the ability to interrupt the missile as it's coming in, air defense or the drone coming in, they can actually strike the base itself before it's actually launched. The fear so far in the Biden administration has always been that the provision of ATACMS, longer range systems to the Ukrainians, and then the striking of Russian targets, perhaps even on Russian territory, might lead to greater escalation and the possibility of a more direct confrontation between the United States, NATO, and the Russian Federation.
And so, therefore, the Russians have a longer reach than the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians cannot reach the Russian long-range missiles that are raining down on the electricity grid. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. Plus, we have encouraged the Ukrainians not to strike targets on Russian territory, even if they have the range. Now, of course, the Ukrainians are having the ability to shorten those ranges, particularly in the south, by the seizure of Kherson and other territory just north of the Crimea. They're now able to move their HIMARS artillery and other systems closer and closer to the Crimean Peninsula. and therefore threaten any indirect fire, missile or artillery drones that the Russians are firing out of Crimea.
Jeff, just the last 30 seconds here. It looks like a Passchendaele. It conducts itself in bad weather like Passchendaele. Is it? Is that front line static now? Your measure, 30 seconds.
It's pretty static, John. Around Bakhmut, which you mentioned, I saw one commentator say we're measuring our success here in yards, not exactly in miles. And the Russians have made some progress. A lot of that's because of the Wagner group and them trying to distinguish themselves from the Russian military.
Right.
We're talking, soldiers in trenches. And it'll be interesting to see not only their ability to resupply soldiers with weapons, but as the winter comes on, which side can actually resupply soldiers with things like boots, food, and the other necessities for winter clothing and et cetera, and under extreme conditions, will probably be the one that comes out of that particular phase of the war in better shape. A Russian soldier sitting in a trench with his feet in water for 2 or 3 days without any field jackets, sleeping bags, et cetera, is a Russian soldier that has bad morale.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.